Job chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him seven sons and three daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Whence comest thou? Where do you come from?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth? A perfect and upright man, one that fears God, hates evil.' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to your face.'" Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today. We ask your forgiveness where we failed you. We thank you for all the blessings you've given us. We ask for your help, your protection, your strength, and your guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we have Job, who is not only a righteous man, but an amazingly righteous man, one who actually goes before, on more than one occasion, goes to the Lord on behalf of his sons and his daughters because he's afraid they might be doing something wrong. And he just wants to make sure that he is able to kind of what you might call stand in the gap for them and you know, pray that God keep them safe. And, you know, he's doing the father thing and offering sacrifices for his family so that God forgives the sins of his family. You know, he's trying his best to watch out for them as best he knows how. And he is the most wealthy man in all of the East, it says. So this man had it on both sides. He had, you know, your material possessions. He had the best in that world. And then he was a very righteous man. He loved God. He lived according to the standards of God. So he was, you could say, rich inside and out. He had it both ways. You know, a lot of people, you see it one way or the other. But with Job, it was all through. And God saw Satan up there in heaven one day. He was kind of, you know, all the angels were gathering together for whatever reason. They do whatever they do. And God sees Satan and says, "Hey, where'd you come from?" Satan's like, "Oh, I've been roaming the earth." It didn't say it, but you know, he's probably looking for trouble, seeing what I can find, seeing who I can get in trouble, you know. Well, that's what he's doing today. He's still out here. He's still looking. He's still trying to get people in trouble. And God says, "Hey, you know, in all you're roaming about, have you noticed Job?" God's like, "You know, I'm really proud of Job. Job has been amazing. He serves me. He does well. there is not another person that is as good as he is. And Satan's like, really? He's like, man, you're not seeing what you're doing here? He says, man, you give the man everything he's got and then you protect it so nothing bad can happen to it. Of course he's going to serve you. He says, but I tell you this. So if you take everything he has away, he'll curse you to your face. Now that's where we left off before the prayer. Now, we already know that God's right. We already know that Job is indeed a righteous man, and it is not because God made him prosperous. If anything, it may have happened the other way around. God may have made him prosperous because he was a righteous man. That is no guarantee for any of us. And many of us know this from experience. That just because you live right doesn't mean that you're going to get wealthy. Otherwise, we'd all be a little better off. Maybe not a lot better off because we're not that good. Who would be a little better off, right? But in Job's case, the devil has thrown down the gauntlet. What's he doing? He's accusing Job of basically being a false Christian. Or not Christian in this case, because Christ has not been born at this point. But that would be what we would call them today. A false believer in God. Just because it got him what he wanted. That was the accusation that the devil made. But it was a false accusation. But I want to tell you something. The devil's still accusing believers today. That's what he does. That's his job. His job that he pretty much has given himself, but that's his job. Verse 12, the Lord responds. He says, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon himself put not forth your hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. But let's go back. So we see troubles coming. But let's look back at the first few verses and let's just examine what we know so far about this story. First of all, Job had a proper respect and reverence for God. It was not just show. That was what the devil wanted, I guess, God to think. He should have known better, but anyway, that's whatever. He had a proper reverence and respect for God, and Job, it said, not only did he fear God, not only did he respect God, but he, this is a weird word, eschewed evil. That means he hates evil's guts. Couldn't stand it. Didn't want a thing to do with it. You know, a lot of people have this idea that you can get. This is the question they'll ask. They'll ask a pastor or somebody. They'll say, hey, pastor, how close can I get to sin without actually sinning? Y'all ever heard that attitude? How close can I actually get? How much can I actually do before it gets me in trouble? I imagine Job had a different attitude. And I imagine it was one that we need to have. And that attitude is this, is how far away can I get from sin? Period. No ifs, no ands, no buts, no whatever. How far away can I get from sin? That was Job's attitude. That's the attitude we need. So Job, by God's standards, was a righteous man. He prayed for his children constantly. He was full of love both for God and for those around him. I believe the man loved his wife. We see he loved his kids by the way he acts. But then we see this behind the scenes. And there's a few things we need to know about this. One of them is just simply the fact that Job didn't have this information. Job didn't know this meeting was going on behind the scenes. You say, is that important? It is important. Because I'm telling you, folks, there's a lot of things going on in the spiritual world behind the scenes that we do not see. And the devil is out to get us. Now, should I be scared? Not really. I mean, I should be aware. But if I know Jesus Christ as my Savior, if there has come a point in my life where I realize that I'm a sinner, and by the way, we all are. Paul said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. A person realizes that, they turn to God and they say, God, I'm a sinner. Oh, and by the way, I cannot fix my life. Even if I wanted to, I can't do it. You need to fix me. I live my life for you now. At that moment, when they turn to Christ through faith, trusting in Him, first of all, you got a new destination. You go from hell to heaven, which is a whole lot better road. See, the road to hell is really easy, and the road to heaven is really bumpy, but the destination's a whole lot better on the heaven side of things. And at that point, I need to be aware that the devil's out there, but I don't need to be afraid of him. Now, if I don't know Jesus, I might ought to be just a little bit afraid. But I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather be afraid of God than afraid of the devil. Because you know something? The devil doesn't have the power to send me to hell. Did you know that? A lot of people say, well, hell belongs to the devil. No. No. The devil hadn't set foot in hell yet. When he does, he's going to be in as much torment as the next guy. Well, I take that back. He's probably going to be in the worst torment of any of them. Because he started it all. But he is not in charge of hell. So a lot of people make that mistake. He's not. The devil's just trying to take as many people as he can with him. So, really, the devil, I need to be aware of him, but I don't need to be afraid of him. No, the devil was up to mischief. The devil was talking to God, trying to get God's permission to do something to Job. Did you catch that? The devil could not do anything to Job without God's permission. I love it. I love it. Because God's got the devil on a leash. And he can't do anything God don't let him do. Love it. Because the devil tries to act like he's so mean, and he is. So powerful, and he has power. But God's like this. No, you're not going anywhere. As a matter of fact, when God finally gives Satan permission to do something, he also puts a boundary out there. He says, you can take his family. You can take his possession. He says, at this time, at this point, you can't take his health and you can't take his life. He said, you can touch everything around him, but don't you touch him. You see, the devil can only go as far as God will let him. There is a battle going on behind the scenes. And the devil is wanting to do things to God's people, just like he wants to do things to his own people. But nothing
can be done unless God gives the okay. Trouble comes. Trouble comes from about a million different ways and a million different reasons. It could be the devil's on the attack, or it could just be a bad day. But either way, we do need to remember that nothing can happen unless God allows it. Well, does that mean that God makes all the bad stuff happen? Nope. He gives man free will. But I tell you something else he does. If we will let him, excuse me, I got a tickle in my throat. If we will let him, he will turn around the bad and make it good. But you got to let him. The moment you trust him as Savior and start living for him, he will start turning around those bads and start making goods out of it. Right now, it doesn't look too hot. But you got to think about this. Job didn't even know this was coming. Job's life is looking great right now. Look at verse 13. There was a day when Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. There came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them." In other words, just a normal work day. Things were going fine. "And the Sabaeans fell upon them," an enemy tribe, an enemy group of people, "and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." He's like, man, these guys attacked out of nowhere, and man, they ain't nobody left but me. And we think that's bad. That's real bad. But it gets worse, because before this guy even finishes his sentence, in other words, verse 16 says, "While this guy was yet speaking, there came also another and said, 'The fire of God has fallen from heaven and has burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee.'" So now it's even worse. But let me ask you a question. From the best evidence we can muster, was it really the fire of God that did it? No, the devil did that. But you know what that tells me? That tells me the devil can make things look like God's doing something. We were at Sunday school this morning. One of the questions that was asked was, all this bad stuff starts happening to us. What's wrong? And the answer that was given was, nothing's wrong. This is just the way Christian life is. You live for Him and bad things can happen. It's just life. But it gets worse. "While he was yet speaking, there also came another and said, 'The Chaldeans made out three bands or three groups and fell upon the camels and carried them away, and they slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to tell thee.' While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, 'Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young man, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee.'" This is what some would call the perfect storm of problems. Because all this news comes one after another, after another, after another. And for some reason I'm thinking about True, our youngest, and how he might feel some days. You see, with
the way his brain works, he doesn't adapt to things as fast as others do. So when new circumstances hit, it's a little overwhelming. Sometimes it's a lot overwhelming. And I'm thinking about Job right now, and I mean, he's just lost his part of his wealth, and then somebody else comes, he's lost more of it. Somebody else comes, he's lost more of it. Somebody else comes, he's lost his kids. He hasn't had time to grieve any of this. It's all hit at once.
It's a terrible nightmare of a situation. If you look at verse 20, it says, Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. There's two things here that Job did.
When it talks about he kind of tore his clothes, he rent his clothes, he tore his clothes, is what that's really saying. What he was doing was he was mourning. He was sad, and he was showing it. He was expressing his sorrow, his grief. You know something? When bad things happen, it's okay to cry. It's okay to express sorrow. It's okay to express grief. And I'm sure God will even give grace if we occasionally ask Him why. Didn't say He would answer us. I just said He'd give us grace.
But it's natural and many times necessary to grieve. But you know what else he did? He worshiped God even in this loss. As a matter of fact, verse 21 says, Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." All this stuff happened to Job.
I'm just going to read verse 22. It says, "In all this, Job didn't sin and he didn't charge God foolishly.
Even in his loss,
Job praised God." And you know, Job showed some wisdom here that a lot of people that are even Christians don't figure out. And that's this. As far as material things go, I started with nothing. I'm going to end with nothing. I don't bring anything with me when I get here, and I'm not taking anything with me when I go. It's all temporary. He also realized who gave him what he had. He said, "The Lord give, and the Lord takes away." It's his to give. It's his to take away. In all honesty, everything I have is God's. And he has a right to do with it what he wants. And then he said this. He said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And I can see the devil's face going, "What?" Because the devil just lost round one. When we give glory to God, the devil loses. See, he wants nothing more than for us to quit on God. He wants nothing more than for us to hate God. But we love God. And Job, even in the mess, loved God.
Job never threw accusations. He never said, "God, you're this, this, and this. And God, you're doing this because you hate me." Job never said that.
Matter of fact, as far as I know, Job never said, "You did this." At least not at this point. He didn't accuse God of anything. He just praised Him for who he was. And now get this. If God takes everything away from me, I can still praise Him for who He is. I'll tell you something else I'll praise Him for. I'll praise Him for the fact that I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm going to heaven when I die. And if I have nothing else, that's more than I deserve.
So if we want to follow an example, let's follow Job's example here. Let's do what he did. And even if stuff happens, first of all, he grieved. Remember, he grieved. He mourned. So we're not acting like nothing happened.
But we are still praising God.
Even in the darkest moment.